right. BA started up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd.
Don't you know, well,
Space City Nerd.
That's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, y'all.
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore.
Got that.
Chip tune.
Got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast. Action figures.
Got that.
Board games.
Got that.
TV shows and video games. Yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
Good evening, and welcome to the 73rd edition of the Space City Nerd Podcast.
I thought you were going to say 73rd annual. Guys, we've been doing this for 73 years.
And we still sound the same.
Yes, it's the Lazarus Pit. That's what
Well, I was going to say we put our voices into a robot, and by now, like, it's one robot doing the podcast by itself.
Yeah, we have a Podbot. Podbot is doing this all by itself. Thank you, Podbot.
We've like sent algorithms into his brain that actually, you know, give our personality into him, and yeah.
Well,
he's
hold up.
He's like the cheapest model too. So.
Oh, hold up! How could Podbot know we like video games if we've probably been dead years and years and years ago?
Our algorithms from our brain.
Yeah, they're like these guys like those Penny Arcade, like those Nickelodeons. They'd probably like video games.
Okay. When we inserted Rex's algorithm into the brain, it almost overloaded.
Yes.
You couldn't comprehend Sanic.
No, it couldn't. No, Sanic was too much. Hey, we need like that. What was that? Blue, deep blue kind of computing power.
Yeah. Speaking of science fiction and devs, how would you like to go out if you had to die in a sci-fi way?
So. I want to be shot into the sun, some way or another. It's glorious. It's a way to end. I know it sounds. I'm dead. I really am dead. I'm just like, I know it'll take a lot of money. I know it's a bit selfish, but if you want to commemorate me, shoot me into the sun. I'll probably burn up before I even touch the sun, but that's not the point. I will be one with the sun.
That's the only. You just want to be shot out into the sun.
Yeah, I don't want to exist in space. I want to be shot into the sun or Betelgeuse, because that's a giant ass star. I want to be shot into Beetle. Actually, yeah, not the sun, Betelgeuse.
By the time you die, they could probably do that though. Just you don't want to have more flair into it.
You don't want to
be like, you know, like one of the cleaners on like in Gundam or something. The janitors and. They're sending out the old suits into the sun.
That'd be horrible. You're like, doot, doot, doot. Like, oh no! They're like, I'm in an asteroid. Why am I doing this asteroid? I'm going to crash into the Earth. That's really horrible, though.
I think you'd like want to leave like in a mech or something.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, shoot me into the sun in a mech. Shoot me into Beetlejuice in a mech. Well, what kind of mech, though? I don't know. Maybe Wing Zero in plane mode. And then right before I get to the sun or Beetlejuice, it'll like, you know, transform and I'll be just out like it's diving like in a parachute with the wings out. And it'll burn up. Or it won't burn up, it's made of Gundanium. We don't know if a Gundanium can take, you know, the power of a star.
What if you were in the Gundam and there was a pilot, or what if he had him in your, like, he had you in his fists and then he would just, like, baseball, like, pitch you into the sun?
Ooh, if that's the case, then I'd rather have whatchamacallit, Domo and Cashew do that. I want Domo and Cashew to, like, get me in a pod and just, like, or Wing Zero put me into the gun and shoot me there.
Oh, man.
Or Epion put me at the end of the whip and he swings it around really, really fast and then flings me into the sun.
Or.
I'm like, or I will keep listing all kind of Gundams and how they would throw my dead body into the sun. How would you want to die in a sci-fi way?
I think I would, like, I don't know. if I'm gonna die already, if it's like my like deathbed thing, mm-hmm. I would be like one of the I guess like a test, a guinea pig for like Total Recall.
Oh, like what would you be dead? How would you?
No, if it's like one of my dying wishes. Like,
oh, okay.
Like if I'm going to die, I'm just going to be like a guinea pig for them and just have other dreams and stuff and other lives right before I die.
That's actually pretty cool. So you will be living like multiple lives before you die.
Exactly.
That's not fair. You could be living that right now. Ooh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, your life in Podbot is a whole lie.
All right, fine. I would. Oh man, I don't know how I would like to die.
No, not die. Like, okay, you said how I would like to die because what I just told you was like how I want to be buried.
Sun. So what's your like science fiction death wish?
Oh man, I wanna get like maybe like. Whatchamacallit? In like StarCraft, whatchamacallit? What's that guy? That crashed his ship into the Zerg? That was pretty badass. God, what's his name? Whatever. StarCraft people, though. Yeah, he's like.
So, okay, if I had to die,
yeah.
I would go out like Jack Black in Mars Attacks, but not that dumb.
Oh, wait. Remind me what happened to him.
Oh, no, No. He planted the flag into, like, one of the aliens as he was dying.
Uh-huh.
That was cool.
Okay. No. I want the good guys to storm my castle, and then you'd be like, you fool, you'll never destroy me! And then they explode me. like, I get cut in half by, like, the ninja guy. He was like, you fools, I am indestructible! Blah!
So you want to go out with a fizzle?
Not really a fizzle, but it'll be like, no, because people will be like, holy crap, he was crazy.
if you're a villain and you have a castle all to yourself, you're already pretty much crazy.
Yeah, and I'll probably then my castle will probably collapse on itself and try to kill the people in there. I mean, that's or like Andros at the end of Star Fox, I'd try to explode myself. Because if I'm gonna die, I'll take everyone else with me. Was what Andros wanted to do.
Because that's...
that's what he wanted to do. He played Star Fox.
Yeah, no, I did. But moving along from stupid deaths that we have in mind.
I want to be thrown to sun, guys. Please. That's my wish.
Why don't you sign up to go to Mars and die over there?
I want to die in Mars. I want to die in the sun. I don't want to... I want to burn up in the sun. Or Beetlejuice, whichever we have technology to send me to. But not Mars, because I don't know.
Well, speaking of Mars, Doom 2.
Oh, yeah.
The original. Doom.
Yeah, original Doom 2. They have, someone made a mod, which is the best kind of mod ever, which is, I like these kind of mods, because they don't add anything to the game, only because it's hilarious. It's the selfie stick.
I'm wondering if... You're so excited about it because you're such a photo fan.
I am.
And I so, am. Like, to me, I'm like, okay, it's a selfie. And you're like, but it's a selfie.
No. So I get excited. I'm a photography fan, and I get excited about all things for photography in video games. I'm even excited about that guy who was playing Red Orchestra taking, quote-unquote, war photography. Dude, you are wasting a spot in that team. Taking your, I'm doing air quotes, photography in video games, but I still think it's hilarious. It's cool because like you hold it, you turn on the, I guess it's a weapon, and then you switch to it and you see Doom guy and you see him holding that selfie stick. And those selfie sticks nowadays are like huge. Love them or you hate them, they're everywhere. People, they're called monopods. People, we've had them for a while, but whatever. And then they have the face, and the face is always in that face we all know and love that's in the bottom center of the screen. Him screaming, going, oh my God, look at that cyber demon. You know, look at John Romero. I think it's cool. And I think it's awesome. Like, that's not my even favorite photography thing in video games. Like in Shadow of Mordor, they made a photography mode where you just click a button and then you could like kind of like compose it, and it's really badass. Like I said, I'm a photography nerd, and I don't really. And photography and video games make me excited. That's why I like the first Dead Rising.
Oh, wow.
You got to take photos of and they grade you. You get, you know, good. And you get erotic when you take a photo of a sexy zombie, because that's a thing.
Yeah, and then you like the, I guess, Fatal Frame, too.
Oh, Fatal Frame is so good. It's totally scary. On a side note, and I can say this because no one on my work listens to this, but so just a side note, guys. Sorry for this, but I went to see a show in downtown, and I went to the garage. I work in downtown. I went to the garage. It was after midnight, and I'm like, hey, cool, the garage without any cars. Took some photos. Very cool. And then I was processing them in Lightroom, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know what I'm going to fucking do? I'm going to put a ghost in there. So I photoshopped a ghost, and then I posted it on my Facebook, and people at work were like, dude, is that real? I'm like, yeah, man, it's for my camera. I didn't see it when I took the photo, but when I turned it on my computer, I was like, holy crap, what them? And then so a bunch of people at work are like, oh, crap, the garage is haunted.
So, moving along, since you got your photo obsession out of the way.
We'll work to your obsession.
Yeah, we're going to move on to mine. Last week, Toy Fair was held in New York, which was like, I had spent most of Valentine's Day refreshing like all the feeds and pages that would show me information. And it was really awesome. There's so much stuff coming out. And we're going to go directly into it. I mean, like Mattel's having like some, they've been doing a bunch of like the old school, like Batman 1960s TV series.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And now there's like, they're doing the actual Batmobile from the 1960s series.
That looks really good. I mean, granted, it's not my favorite Batmobile. It's the animated series one, but it looks really nice.
They're also having the bat computer, like a bat playset for the Batcave.
That's cool. That's awesome.
So, and I mean, we're just going to touch on things that I saw. NECA is doing a video game Godzilla.
So from the NES, he even has that weird color scheme, that kind of green color scheme you see in the NES Godzilla. Did you ever play it?
Yeah, no, I did. It was kind of hard.
It was. I think I was still a little young and I could not grasp the control. So,
but their video game series have been really cool. Like I've liked the stylings of how they've managed to move like all that artwork into 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they've got like the Rocky from the Master System game. They've got a Rambo from the Rambo game, and the one I have to get is what's his name? I think it's Spike. Yeah, Spike from Gremlins.
Oh, yep. There
and it if goes. You, they also have a an alien.
Yeah.
A xenomorph.
Yeah, dog alien. That's what they called it. I guess it's one of the first aliens. There's Ripley with her what you call it?
Paradiser.
Her astronaut outfit. But that RoboCop and the RoboCop playset, the RoboCop versus Terminator playset.
Uh-huh.
That's really freaking rad.
The RoboCop ones are out.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Was that playset that's actually for sale?
No, probably that's like let's build it together, which is shame. Yeah, it's a shame.
Because it looks, I was like, I swore I played that part of that level in that SNES game.
NEC is also releasing Heroes of the Storm, which is the big MOBA from Blizzard.
Yeah.
As a Diablo player, there's some figures in there I want.
Yeah, there's Nova, who's the most famous video game character that does not have a game. so you get you some what's the name, Tyrael.
And of course the Lich King looks amazing.
Illidan looks kind of cool, but I'm like, it's Illidan. And then slide aside, are you excited about this Hero of the Storm?
No,
not a big mobile guy.
No, I'm sorry, but I dislike the Community.
MOBAs are not my thing either.
Yeah, especially since I got banned from Smite. I was going around playing as Cupid and spamming "What is love?" and apparently that's bannable offense. I'm like, whatever.
Man, you got a question, what is love? And if they don't like that question, they don't know what love is. They want you to show them.
Moving on to their Pacific Rims.
Oh yeah, so they have Otachi and Baby Otachi, which of course I'm gonna get. There's a new Jaeger called Horizon Brave. It looks a little weird. It reminds me of Baxter because of it looks like Bug Eyes instead of just corner rockets.
It looks like something from like Votoms.
Arbiter Votoms.
Yeah.
yeah, it does. It has that kind of bulkiness from Votoms.
And then I know you're gonna pick up that SCC set for the like little the toys that the kid was playing in the movie are coming out as actual toys.
Yeah, and I mean that's something I'd love to be on my desk. A bigger Striker Eureka. I think Striker Eureka is the most anime of all the. I think it's a very anime inspired one, so I know that's a really popular one. And I know in an earlier episode I was bitching about so many Gypsy Dangers, and they do have one where Gypsy Danger is about to explode at the end of the movie. Spoiler alert. Yeah. I'm like, how many Gypsy Dangers can you have? And I know it went through many, many transformations, but come on.
Yeah, and then Square Enix Play Art Kai, fuck them. As a toy collector, I do not like Play Art, so moving along.
Okay, I was gonna say that it's just the way it's built, it's kinda weird.
So what did you say that one of your favorite Batmobiles was the animated series one?
Yes.
And they're coming out with it?
Yes.
And it's like 2 feet long?
I don't know if I can afford it.
It makes noises?
Actually, okay, it's my second favorite one. Because I got the Batman Returns one is actually my favorite one. But,
really?
Huh?
Really?
Yeah, I like it splits apart.
I like the first Batman movie one.
Really?
Yeah. It's much better.
And I remember, though, that I had both Batmobiles when I was a kid from the Returns. The one that shot the like the front part, well, it shoots out, and then the one that splits apart.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. So it looks really clean, though. It looks really smooth, that Batmobile from an animated series. It's just...
Yeah, it looks all right. I ain't buying it. So.
I probably won't either. It's for the people who bought the giant-ass 2 feet tumbler.
Yeah, that too. The $700 one, so.
Oh, that's so expensive.
Also, if any of you collected DC Universe Classics by Mattel, DC Collectibles is kind of bringing that line back. Really cool.
Yeah, they have Deadman.
Yeah, well, you had Deadman in the other one too, but these come with interchangeable stuff and all that. And then you can also, it's bringing back the classic Harley Quinn as a figure too.
I see that.
What's up?
Let me ask you this. DC, and I know we're going to go over this later with Marvel, but does DC have a comparable line that's comparable to Marvel Legends?
It used to be DC Universe Classics. And now this DC Icon series at DC Collectibles is going to be that.
Okay. Because I'm kind of like squinting my eye a little bit to see like Superman, and it looks like he has a lot of points of articulation, and that's what Legends is known for.
Yeah, and then DC Collectibles is also doing a TV series line, because I know like Arrow and the Flash have been just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
they're
that's huge. It's huge with the kids nowadays.
Oh, those kids! It's wacky kids in there.
Hey, live Jim action Gordon. DC. Oh, it's a statue though. Never mind. I don't want to put Jim Gordon. What kind of guy would have a Jim Gordon statue from the Gotham TV series?
A cop.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that'd be cool though. Okay, I can see that. Like, I'm a detective, and I work for the HPD, and I on my desk I have Jim Gordon, and I'm like, just look at it. I'm like, yeah, he lives in a tough town. I could be just as tough as Jim Gordon. I'm not being sarcastic. I think that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I see it too. So, Japanese companies started moving in on Toy Fair as well. and Good Smile had a booth in there. Excuse me, if you're a fan of The Legend of Zelda, they have what's called a real action hero figure. It's a 12-inch, super detailed with real clothing and all that, of Link.
Ah, hold up. I just saw another Guyver, and I was like, they have Link. They have a Fate Stay Night.
Yeah, so if you're an anime fan, they're bringing a lot of the anime properties over to the States now as figures.
I've seen like one or two episodes of Fate Stay Night. I just really like the I don't even know her name, but the main character's outfit, that kind of like knight, that long skirt with armor, I think it really looks really badass. Saber. So I might get that Figma Saber because she looks badass.
She's also expensive, so.
Oh, god damn it. Why do anything I like cost so much money?
Mortal Kombat X is coming out with figures. I really want that Aztec dude. The Kotal-kan.
Kotal-kan is the name?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
I guess it's the main bad. So, I haven't really know. I knew a lot of Mortal Kombat lore up until now. We know that this one takes place like 20 years after. So I don't know anything about Kotal-kan. But Quan Chi is in it, and another katana.
Isn't like someone dead? Johnny Blade isn't coming back, or and his daughter.
Yeah, his daughter. Yeah. I forgot her name. But anyway, Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade has a daughter, I think, right?
Yeah,
whatever. Her name is Beyblade. But yeah, sorry guys.
Does she have any spin attacks?
Yes, she has spin attacks, yes.
They also have some Diamond Select Ghostbusters toys, but we're going to let Andrew Williams from God Hates Comics pee his pants on that one.
Exactly. So. He's our Ghostbuster guy. He actually when I put that ghost photo of the he was like you make sure you call me, and I'm like, yes sir, Mr. Williams. I know you ain't afraid of no ghosts.
And then of course if you like Funko Pop, which I'm not a fan of, so.
Well, we're not a fan of it because like an earlier podcast with Corey, we like to play with our toys. We like to pose them, and Funko Pop was like, yay, I took it out of the box. There you go. I'm not trying to rat on you or anything, but it's like for collectors, I'm like, what else do you do with that? A lot of people don't even take it out of the box. They just have a wall of them.
They have like protective cases now.
Yeah. If you like that, great. That's your thing. But like the other day, Jesus found someone who was selling Gundam Wing and Gundam Wing TVs, Gundam Wing Zero TV series, and Sanrock, and I paid for it and I got it, and then and I was like, hey, let's pose this. It's awesome. And I think my heavy arms fell down, so I need to fix that later.
I'm your crack dealer.
Yes, you are. It's horrible.
It's kind of horrible. You love it.
I know, exactly. Like crack.
You always come back and like, have you seen any new figures, man? I gotta have them.
Like, I gotta have them, man. I'm just like shaking, wearing a trench coat. It's too big for me. A hoodie. Sniffing.
So the big one that was like really really cool to me, were the Marvel Legends.
Yeah.
I'm a big Marvel fan, especially like the entire universe. Even though I haven't like kept up with Marvel very much. In their comics, just because it's become so overwhelming to me.
There's a lot, and then they're gonna do Secret Wars, and it's gonna reboot, and it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, but Marvel Legends just like it just surprised me so much. They are coming up with a Thanos like build a figure with some really cool figures to go along with it. Mm-hmm. Characters that like you never thought would get figures. They also just announced a Spider-Man one.
Okay. Well, you said characters you don't even know who would get figures, like such as
Hellcat is one of them.
Hellcat. Wow.
Batroc.
Really?
Yeah. Z Leaper has a figure.
So I don't. Okay, so people who are only familiar with MCU is just gonna be like, I'm gonna get these. I guess that's the tactic. I'm gonna get these figures so I can get Thanos because I want Thanos. And then you're like, what are these figures? What's a Batroc? And I was like, oh, it's that clown. Yeah. So I guess I can see where they're going.
Well, the Spider-Man Legend that came out, they have White Tiger.
Really?
Yeah, and then they also have Misty Knight. Which I was like, I was so happy about it, but you know, maybe to the general public, it's gonna be like, who, what, you know? I mean, thankfully they released Iron Fist.
Iron Fist, yeah. So Iron Fist is cool.
You know, they've announced like a new War Machine figure, a Build-A-Figure Rhino.
That Rhino looks good.
Dorito faceplate Iron Man.
Yeah. When you said that, made me laugh.
The Marvel Now Iron Man has a Dorito faceplate.
I know.
And then the Build-A-Figure. Of course, everybody's going to watch Avengers 2, and everybody's going to want a Hulkbuster figure.
Yes.
Well, they're providing a Build-A-Figure of 10 inches tall of the Hulkbuster armor, which was amazing.
Oh, man. That Hulkbuster looks really good in the movie, by the way. And I know everyone will want to get their hands on them.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like in that same wave, you know, Thundra. She's getting a figure.
Wow. Do you think that they're gonna like announce these characters into like maybe in a movie since they're releasing in figures and putting it on the public?
I think they have bigger
plans for them.
I honestly think they're like sneaking in one or two figures just for as fan service.
Uh-huh.
Because Machine Man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something only real fans would know.
Yeah, I mean it's like Grim Reaper, Tiger Shark, Batroc, Hellcat, Blizzard. I don't want to say Valkyrie because she's pretty well known, but Thundra. Like all these characters are just being like shoved into these. But then they have like Superior Venom who gets like one comic,
mm-hmm.
and he's in here already. But one of the, like, two of the ones that I'm, like, really excited about are the Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah, the Ghost Rider looks good.
And, Ben Reilly Spider-Man.
Really?
Even though everybody hates the clones, but he looks great.
Yeah. Hold on. Batroc looks like the way he looks like in the comics, right? With the, purple outfit.
Yeah, isn't that George St. Pierre?
Yeah, okay, never mind.
Oh, and for those that like characters... Her actor likenesses, Mark Ruffalo is getting a figure.
Ooh, Ruffalo. You like how I said his name? Yeah.
God. Well, before it starts getting any more creepier, this is how it starts. That's why.
Okay, sorry. I've been drinking my whiskey. Sorry, guys.
We're going to go ahead and take our first break. This is Mega Ran and Storyville. This is off their brand new album, Soul Veggies, that actually came out today. Or... yesterday when you hear this, or whenever, Tuesday the 17th. They've gotten so much like positive reaction to their new album. It's really incredible. Like I think they've actually hit into the charts now, like into Billboard.
Oh really? Nice. Congratulations. Yeah. Mega Ran.
Yeah, so I mean and Storyville, because he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You could find it on Mega Ran Music. It's on their Bandcamp, ready to go. I think they even have limited edition where they actually send you the CD and it's signed by both of them. So check it out and we'll be right back.
React like flames, the moss. Heat might make you change your course. The game is lost. Unlike anything you ever came across. Bring your boss, flames get tossed. And a little bit of riddle in the rhythm is a bit of a stimulant. We get it in straight punk rock, skip the middlemen. John Rambo riding with Sam Pro with wild ammo. Fools get canceled. Hold on. Let me get my cape on. This is creation, not Creshawn. This is Philadelphia, where we say John and chicks rock hair extensions. The tape on. Stop frontin', move like you got something to prove and do it until the cops coming. And if they ask about that commotion, react, move, don't hold back the motion.
Loony to the bin, screw loose up in my head. I hear music and it says get moving to it, yes. I'm crazy in the cranium, maybe I'm cracking up. Maybe I got mania, baby, I'm freaking nuts. And pills and penicillin ain't chilling, calming me down. This prescription that I'm filling ain't really helping me out. I should have been committed a minute ago, admitted and thrown into a padded prison. to sitting alone. I get in the zone, then I give it a go. Hip-hop Jackson Pollock mixed with Vincent Van Gogh. Blood, sweat, and tears in my craft, that's devotion. React, move, don't hold back the motion. React. Swing from the rafters, boombox bass punch holes in the plaster. Gimme more, gimme more on the board. Turn LED meters red when my foot hit the floor. Or you could have it your way. Drums do the talking, bass do the walking. DJ cut the record, I host the ceremony. I don't hold hegemony, more the merrier. Get them in the door, ready to the floor. Melody and chords rock steady on the pulse. Petty for your thoughts, ready on the draw. Shit heavy in your drawers, got your old granny's old gramophone on the song. React. Documentation beats conversation. Rhymes penetrate through deep concentration. Learn from the great ones till it turn from each one. Teach one to everybody hate one. Stop teaching, I was tired of the knuckleheads. Ironically, I never did what my mother said. Left education without a trace of hesitation or trepidation. Been trailblazing ever since. 06 focus, Storyville, and meet the evidence. The rap styles, the theories from Pascal, they were an inheritor and it can't be passed down. Yeah.
So that was a React by Megaran and Storyville off their new Soul Veggies album. You can find that at megaranmusic.com. And I guess we didn't scare Uncle Staple off, and he's back with us tonight.
So that's right.
you have a tough stomach to like endure what happened last time, so.
That was a pretty rough fan fiction.
I skipped over that part when I
all right,
fast forwarding. So nice. It's fine. I'm afraid to know like what preceded me on this episode.
Actually, but... no, we talked about toys and not.
Oh, okay. Well, kind of toys.
Action kind. So.
Actually, yeah, Toy Fair happened in New York over the weekend, so we're like, let's talk about Nerd Out on Toys.
Oh, actually, we talked about the way that we would like to die, like in a science fiction blaze of glory.
And I went on a 5-minute rant where I want to be thrown into the sun.
So, Uncle Staple, what would your like? Science fiction, blaze of glory, way to die, be.
The heart of an exploding sun? I don't know.
See?
Right off the top of my head.
See, Jesus, the sun has to be involved in an awesome death.
See, I'm
you
more
know, of a star. Yeah, you know. Maybe not, it doesn't have to be our sun. It could be any sun.
See, I'm more of
something
the...
solar.
I'm more of the minimalist, and we'll take like a defeating an alien enemy, even though if it's like a grunt, but out of pride. So
like for that,
that's honorable. Honorable. So, I have to be spectacular. I'm an egomaniac.
So Staple is a couple of weeks away. We are very excited. Like we got our hotel all ready, and we're planning our trip. You know, we're just like, what are we taking? What are we doing? And then it's probably going to fall apart, in a week or so when we go crazy. Like, oh, God, it's almost here.
Best laid plans, man.
That's someone that's going to the con or to the table to just kind of hang out and stuff and, cover it. I can only imagine what you're going through right now. Or is Staple actually easier for you?
No.
So
you'd think it would get easier after 11 years, but it's just like, what have I got myself into every time? But then it gets here and it's great. So it, you know, it's just getting all the I's dotted and T's crossed and getting everything, getting all the little ducks in a row and what have you beforehand is, it's, you know, it can be stressful, but, you know, apparently I'm a masochist as well as an egomaniac, so I keep doing it.
Now, there's something very important that I need to know about, you know, the X-Villain. I mean, it'll excite me even more to know the truth behind it, but what food trucks are you bringing?
We've got one book so far, and that is the Rosarito truck, is what it's called. Rosarito. It's Baja Tacos.
All right.
So,
oh, nice. That's always delicious. No, we're
fish tacos and stuff like that. And I noticed when I was emailing back and forth with the dude, he had his phone number and his email had a 956 area code.
Oh, wow. Down to the valley.
He's from the valley, which I'm also grew up down there, too. So I know that's good cred for making tacos in my book.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, we've been spoiled by Houston food, so we're excited to come down and try some more Austin stuff, especially like food trucks and stuff.
There's tons of food trucks here. It's a huge, huge trend. I hope it continues. Yeah, I'm looking at their Facebook page right now.
I mean, portable food, that shouldn't be a trend. That should be a mainstay.
Yeah, we need to. You need to eat where it's. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Like, I have some friends from New Orleans, and kind of an interesting thing happened after Hurricane Katrina. And then in the rebuilding efforts and all the construction that was going on, there was taco trucks there, which they had never really had taco trucks in New Orleans before.
That's actually pretty bad.
Construction workers.
That's pretty cool. It's very cool because I know I was watching a documentary in Japan, and I know after the earthquake in Ottawa, they actually got on some of the shops that were, you know, making food from shops, they transferred into trucks, and they were helping the people who were in temporary housing or helping out in the cleanup.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Well, they weren't even familiar kind of with the idea of the breakfast taco was alien to my New Orleans friends. I was like, what? 1,000?
Yeah. Breakfast tacos and kolaches are criminally unknown outside of Texas.
It's true. It's true.
That's part of our beloved culture.
No doubt. But food's an important part of any culture, as is comic books.
Yeah, there is comic books. So, is there anything else that kind of developed in the last couple of weeks for Staple?
Yeah, there is. There's a couple of good panels we've put together just over the last couple of weeks that we're real excited about. In fact, we've got our entire panel schedule together. We posted it online. We've got my friend Paul Benjamin, who's a writer. He writes for video games, and he's actually written for Marvel, and he used to be an editor at Humanoids Press, and he's like a D&D buddy of mine. We game together. Anyway, I called upon his expertise and contacts, and he has put together a panel where we have dubbed Spawning Diversity in Games. Mm-hmm. Mm. In keeping with our theme of diversity this year, and so he's got four different people from different backgrounds who have all at one time worked at BioWare, which is kind of known for incorporating diversity into their game design. And some of them are also sort of indie game designers, and they kind of run the gamut of writers and artists and stuff like that. So they're going to talk about All aspects of diversity in gaming, in the games themselves, and then in working in the gaming industry as well. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I really want to stick around for the Hillbilly Philosopher screening.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer. I've like kept up a little bit with them, and it's just kind of like it's something that Adult Swim is missing out on.
I imagine they'll get it sold there or somewhere. I think it would fit in good at an Adult Swim or Cartoon Network.
Anyway, oh, no. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like with the trailer, it looks funny enough that like Adult Swim should have it already there, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know how that shit works. So if I did, I would have done it myself.
And so what do you have left to do right now? Aside from pulling your hair out?
Well, did that a long time ago, but crap. Yeah, tons of stuff. I don't know. This weekend I had a 3-day weekend and it was pretty productive. I got the program off to the printer. We got the t-shirt designed to the t-shirt designer or t-shirt printer. I was working closely with the graphic designer to get a bunch of ads made. Working on some advertising, doing more promotions, constantly promoting stuff. I don't know, I've got it's almost 10 o'clock and my brain is kind of burnt. I know I have a list of things I have to do. It's written down. I write it down because I can't remember stuff, but and just little details, like I got to get some lanyards, I got to get some wristbands ordered, I got to get all of, we haven't got the volunteer list yet. We lost our volunteer coordinator, I had to recruit a new volunteer coordinator, which I did, and we got to schedule all our volunteers for the weekend. It's like, a massive campaign of, just tons of little details you have to take care of. So,
well, if you forget any of them, just listen to the show again. That way you'll remember them.
That's right. Like, oh crap, I forgot that. Too late. Oh well. That's the other. That's the other thing, when you get there and it's that day and they're like, ooh, we forgot that thing. Oh, well, too late. Keep going. The show must go on. Don't mention it. Maybe no one will notice. pretty much.
We'll be there in full force. I know that for sure. Like, and we've been excited. Like I said, this is actually my first year to Staple. Something had always happened when I wanted to go to Staple, so this year it's like, let's put everything to the side and just head there.
Cool, man. Well, yeah. I hope nothing comes up.
It's always a good idea to drive to Austin. It's always a nice adventure.
Yeah. No, we've got we're going to go sleep at one person's house and then we're all going to leave together the next day. So we know that we're going. So
yeah. That sounds great. Also in the last couple of weeks, partnered up with AIGA, which mm-hmm. is the Professional Organization for Design. It used to be called the American Institute of Graphic Artists, but now they just call it AIGA. I guess it's more designy. The local chapter here has put together a panel about zines. Persons of color / queer / women in zines, and it's a panel on the relationship between illustration and zine design from POC / women / queer perspective. So we have some bunch of local zine makers that are gonna talk about that stuff. We've got to get a more explicit description on the website there, staple-austin.org.
Well, we're going to have to show up to that one because, I mean, like the zine that we release, it's, you know, written by like all kinds of races, and we've had women and men doing, you know, the articles and stuff. So it'll be good to kind of like sit down and listen to it.
Yeah, that one's on Sunday in the afternoon, 2:30.
Very
on,
cool.
On the Sunday of the show. So yeah, we have a full solid 7 hours of programming this year. The first one we kind of kicked it off on Saturday, a panel called Life in Panels, Autobio Comics, with Jess Fink, Kate Leth, and Dean Tripp. So that one's going to be good. They're just going to talk about the process and effects of recounting their personal origin stories in comics form. I'm reading this directly off the website.
It's okay.
A little bit. So yeah, talking about, you know, they all make autobiographical comics, and so they're going to talk about what that's like. And then, yeah, then there's the Hire This Woman panel right after that, which I believe we've discussed. And mm-hmm. then we're kind of combining, since we had so many things come up, I've kind of combined some guests and onto one panel. So Babs Tarr, Brooke Allen, Grace Ellis, and Shannon Waters are all on one panel. And I asked Annie Bullock to moderate that one.
We've had her on the show.
Yeah, and yeah, she's coming out. And of course, she writes for a couple of websites, and she interviewed Brooke and Grace for our blog, and that should be going. I think they've submitted their answers back. It was an email interview. Let's see. Yeah, and then we have our games panel that day, and then we have our live art show that evening, which is a benefit for Co-op Radio. It's basically artists get up and draw, and then we sell off the art, and it goes to benefit the local community radio station. And then, yeah, then we're back at it. And then, yeah, so Sunday, yeah, is also got a lot of good stuff. So it's got the Hillbilly Philosopher, it's got the Zines panel, and then the first one in the during the day at 1 is Pitching Comics. This is the other panel that Janelle Esselin is going to be doing, more of a presentation, really, where she gives you advice. You know, she's worked as an editor at DC and Marvel and everywhere, you know, as well as writing for Comics Alliance. So she's going to give tips on pitching comics to comics publishers. And that one's being moderated by Meredith Nudo.
I've heard that name before, but I heard she's an awesome person.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, we love Meredith. She's part of the SCN crew, so we're very happy to like that she's moderating something out there.
Well, I want to brag on her too. She really came through for me. She helped out and helped put together a sort of crowdfunding to actually get Janelle here to Austin. I didn't have a sponsor that would fly Janelle out, and so I was talking to some comic shops and here in town and in Houston, and convince anybody to do it. And then I talked to Meredith, and she came up with the idea of going to the Valkyries and just having everyone pitch in $15, $20, $30. And some of them pitch in like $50 and $60 just to fly Janelle in. And Meredith coordinated all that and got, you know, she got the word out, she got the money together, and bought the plane ticket for Janelle. So huge kudos to Nudo for her hard work on that. I'm going to high-five her. We did.
Nice.
No, she was very excited. Like we matched her donation too, so we were like, we got to do this for you. So
yeah, absolutely. You guys pitched in. Yeah, it was really exciting to me to see like the community come together like that. I mean, that's kind of what Staple's about, is fostering community and everybody coming together to do a thing, and then everybody pitching in to make this happen is, you know, that's really meaningful, and I think it's fucking great, man.
No, I love the attitude that that stable has. That's why I'm like, I'm frothing at the mouth for, you know, this trip. So.
Yeah, man. Cool.
But it's, so are you looking
at comic book convention? Yeah, such a thing.
Are you looking forward to that 1 hour less on Saturday?
The I'm sorry, the which?
The time change on Saturday.
Oh, is there a time change? Yeah, it's you know what? I've been getting up earlier every day anyway and going to sleep earlier. I don't know what's going on. I think it's stress. I'm not sleeping very well, so I'm like waking up at like 4 and 5 in the morning. I'm like, what do I have to do? Oh, shit, make coffee. Start emailing people.
So I guess on Saturday, the party, you're going to be like, well, it's 1 o'clock. I got to go home because it's really 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the live art show, like, I just, so to run the live art show, I mean, it's, you know, it's some work. And then I've been working all day at this convention, and then I come to this party. I'm not going to run this also show at a bar until 2 a.m. and then everyone leaves, and then I have to break down and stuff and haul stuff back and get home at 4 and then get up and go back to the convention the next day. No, I'll just pay someone. I'll have a few drinks. I'll always buy at least one piece of art at the live art show. Something I find that speaks to me. And then go home and rest because my work is not done. And then, you know, until it's shut down on Sunday, and then I come home and pass out for a couple of days.
Well, next year, ask us. Well, we can help you run the after party. We have much experience with going to sleep at 4 in the morning and having to wake up at 8 a.m. to do interviews. So
experience, yeah. I don't know if it's healthy for us, but whatever.
Do you have a pickup truck?
I think we have something kind of like one.
Pickup truck? Okay. That's one of the job requirements, is a pickup truck. I'm sorry. Yeah. Ryan, I have big pieces of plywood you have to haul around.
So. Oh, yeah.
So there's no live art.
Well, knowing us, we drunkenly just carrying them to wherever they need to go. So.
Sure, you carry them from my house like to 5 miles downtown. Oh, you'll be fine. You're young. You could do it.
We live in Houston. 5 miles means 1 mile for us.
Oh, okay. See? That's it. You know what you did. Well,
wait,
cool,
Ryan,
guys.
You forgot about the hills.
The what?
You forgot Austin has hills.
Oh, that's right. Y'all have hills. Dang it. Never mind. Yeah, you should. not an up and down shit.
Well, thank you very much, Uncle Staple, for joining us. Remember, Staples happening the first weekend of March. Staple-Austin.org is the website, so you can check out everything that's going on. We've had a really good rundown of all the events with Uncle Staples for like 2 visits for this year. And hopefully we'll have some more pre-Staple coverage coming up in the next 2 shows before the show. And yeah, thank you once again. Like, we're very honored to have you on here, and we're excited to be out there.
My pleasure, and look forward to seeing you guys there.
Awesome. We're going to leave you guys with Get Down from Jason Doug Funny. He's from Dallas. Really cool guy. We met him at Classic Games Fest. Just released an album as well. We'll be right back after this. Yeah.
Chicago, down in different levels. Oh, right. Down like I'm Dante when I'm jumping through infernos. Okay. Getting down with the business when I'm burning with the Zag. Get down with the get down like earth, wind, and fire. Mother right. Sparks. It's like a combination of a boat, but what direction does it go when you got the boats and hoes? And I'm not talking about the boat, but what direction for fellatio? I panic on Titanics, that's a non-existent ratio. Right. Probability, but silly me, I think about that later still. Put it down till it goes down, Joseph Frazier down to the naysayers, down to them haters.
So that was Get Down by Doug Jason Funny. He's out of, I forgot if he's San Antonio or Dallas. Either one of those, but no disrespect, Doug Funny. We love your stuff and all that. Rex
you're
is
from Texas.
Yeah, as long as you're from Texas, you're all right, you know.
Yeah.
Rex is a big fan of the Metal Gear stuff that he does.
Mm-hmm.
But he's actually doing an Indiegogo right now for his music video. And I've seen, like, the trailer and all that. He's really pushing for a lot of creativity. You can check that out on Indiegogo and just search up Doug Funny, just like the cartoon character and all that. And, I mean, I think for, like, $8, you end up getting his new album, which is really, really, really good. The guy's talented. We saw him at Classic Games Fest live, and it was just mind-blowing. Like, I hadn't seen him live before, and I became, like, an instant fan then. Especially with his Macho Man one.
He had some visuals, too, during his rap. It was pretty awesome seeing him live.
Yeah, so yeah, hopefully
it was really cool.
Hopefully we could see him again over at Classic Games Fest this year. So, yeah, you could find that at dougfunny.bandcamp.com. His Indiegogo link is there, too. but if you just heard his very sexy voice, but Sexy Rexy is on. Hello, Sexy Rexy.
Hey, hey Sexy Rexy. Hey, yeah. How's it going?
Well, the reason we're starting off with Sexy Rexy is because this Valentine's, while Ryan and I were just, you know, hanging out at Neil's bar and having some fun and out there.
Just in general, I'm just gonna say this right now. I watched a lot of really shitty things this week, and I'm gonna tell you guys about all of them.
Well, the first one we're gonna talk about was what did you watch on Saturday?
On Saturday, I went to go see 50 Shades of Grey with my girlfriend and a bunch of our friends, and it was a really bad time. It wasn't, I mean, it wasn't the worst time, because there was a bunch of us all in it together, and the rest of the theater seemed to be there all for the same reason. Like, everyone looked really embarrassed when they had us. Like, when we got there, they made us all, like, wait in line while no one else seeing any other movie had to, like, wait in line, and that was kind of awkward, and, like, everybody knew.
They had to clean the floors.
Yeah, and, like, everybody knew what we were in line for, and there's a lot of judgmental looks, a lot of embarrassed-looking people, and then about, like, not very long into the movie, everybody was just, like, laughing at everything. The actors, like, were really obviously, they didn't care about the movie. They had no chemistry. The plot, like, was really... Apparently the movie is, like, better than the book in a lot of ways, but I can't even begin to imagine, like, what could be worse than that, because it was
I've read a good chunk of the book. Yeah, the writing is horrendous.
Essentially, it's a story about this guy that, like, gets obsessed with this girl and gets involved in, like, a really, like, shitty, manipulative, like, relationship with her. And then she kind of, like, it ends with... I'm assuming nobody listening to this is going to care if I spoil the end of 50 Shades of Grey. Oh, no.
And cover your ears for, like, 5 seconds. Yeah. Like, whatever.
Eventually, she, like, grows some balls and leaves the guy that's, like, abusing her. And I, like, this is full-on straight, like, I don't understand how anyone could find the story romantic. Like, every typical thing, like, every red flag that could happen in an abusive relationship happens. Like,
that is so scary.
Yeah, like...
Doesn't he also control the world, though? Doesn't he control the world? Does he, like, own, like, cells?
No. No, they're vaguer about what he does, like, what kind of business he owns, than the room is about, like, what kind of job Tommy Wiseau has. Like,
he's just
all we know...
super rich guy from Seattle, right?
Yeah, he's a super rich guy from Seattle. He owns a corporation. You never find out what they do, but he has technology to where, like, he tracks her down via GPS on her cell phone and, like, goes across state lines to, like, meet her at this bar in, like, 5 minutes.
That sounds like Honey Pop.
Yeah. Over the course of, like, the 2-hour-long movie, great things happen, such as she gets alienated from all of her friends. She gets alienated from her family. Christian Grey throws a bitch fit when she's like, oh, I'm going to go see my mom in Georgia. And, like, he's like, why didn't you tell me? And red just flag. In general, like, she pretty much just gives up her entire life to be, like, her pet, or his pet, essentially. And it's really gross, and I don't see how people can, like, find that even a little bit romantic, and it makes me wonder about, like, other people's relationships a whole lot.
You know what's funny is, like, I read some of the descriptions and all that,
mm-hmm.
and it, like, I didn't expect it to be so loved by the general public and all that.
I don't understand.
You know, I would think, like, it would be like the Fedora Core Bible.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
What do you mean with the Fedora Core Bible?
Because this dude is trying to be, like, nice about everything. Like, it's like, oh, I came here to save you. You know, you need to give me this. You know, the pretentious nice guy.
Then who's really into bondage.
Exactly.
Yeah, he is straight up, like, pretentious nice guy. And he does all these, like, really fucked up things to, like, the main girl. And they present it as, like, oh, well, if you love somebody, this is what's supposed to happen. And that's how people wind up in, like, really fucked up, like, shitty situations. Also, other things I hated about that movie, for whatever reason, everybody had razor burn, which I guess props to Props to them, I guess, for keeping it realistic. But if Christian Grey is supposed to be like a multimillionaire with like all these helicopters and cars and all this like dumb shit, you'd think him and the girl would be able to afford like aftershave. But there's like razor burn everywhere. Also,
wow. Yeah. Maybe the razor burn is part of the abuse.
Maybe. I didn't even think about that. Part,
you know, the sadomasochism's like, I need to like hurt myself with razor burn.
Mm-hmm. Also, the highlight, the only shining point of that movie is during one of the BDSM scenes, which are just really like stupidly done.
Yeah. Continue. I just want to ask you, how were those? I mean,
There's only two.
Was it full on nudity?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there is only two of them.
Wait, full on nudity, wang and everything.
You see like part of his dick, and you see her bush.
Oh, okay.
Actually wind up seeing more of him than you do her, but
In that sense, they kind of did it right, where it's like equal nudity.
Yeah. Pretty much like equal nudity wise,
but everything else is
and
not
everything
friendly.
Else really sucks. And during like one of the BDSM scenes, like the longer one has this harsh noise version of "Crazy in Love" by Beyonce playing.
The trailer.
Yeah, except it's like the trailer one. They didn't get so crazy with it. This is a full on like. It sounds like something that like Richard Ramirez would have put out like. On a cassette tape or something like Blackie might do if he was supposed to be like a remix or something. There's like static noises and just like lots of, it's really like loud and really, it is a like literal harsh noise remix of a Beyonce song playing in a sex scene of a mainstream Hollywood movie. And I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah. I was going to say it's like music wise, was it done well?
That was the only like halfway decent song I feel in it. The rest of it sounded really like kind of, like it sounded like shitty radio pop but like worse, obviously trying to be sexy kind of stuff. Like that whole movie just like it felt like they were really trying hard to make a lot of unsexy things sexy and people are buying it and it's really upsetting. Really I cannot put an emphasis on how upsetting 50 Shades of Grey is. And
oh man,
the only time I was interested in this was when they were still casting who Christian Grey was supposed to be, and some of the talks was supposed to be Charlie Hunnam, Raleigh Beckett from Pacific Rim. So yeah. in my head he'd be like, Anastasia, come back, and then he gets into his Jaeger and and stalks her in his Jaeger with in my head. I'd be like, I thought it'd be awesome. Well, yeah. Jaeger with a whip. With his whip sword. Yes.
And also, after the movie was over, I wound up because, like, we snuck booze into the movie, and I kind of felt like shit all day. So I was like, yeah, maybe it'd be a good idea if I didn't drink. But I wound up, like, not doing that. And by the end of the movie, I was just completely hammered and wound up reading the Wikipedia summaries for the rest of the 50 Shades of Grey series so I would know how it ends. It gets worse.
What happens to the second one?
I mean, there may be people that just out of curiosity want to go look into it, so.
Those people are dumb.
Yeah, sorry, we're going to call you out.
Yeah, I'm just saying it right now. Like, please don't do it. Don't do it, man.
Or maybe they want to read it on their own to laugh at their own pace.
Okay, yeah, then in that case, then I won't see anything. Just expect it to get, like, even more offensive and shitty.
Well,
it started as a Twilight fanfiction, everybody. Thus, being a fanfictions.
Yeah.
I mean, if they criticize, like, the fanfictions that we read, you know, do not touch 50 Shades of Grey.
Hey.
Yeah.
A octopus having sex with the castle from Harry Potter is better than.
Because both of them were probably into it, and the dragon or whatever wasn't, like, emotionally manipulating. Yeah, the octopus probably wasn't emotionally manipulating the castle and, like, doing all this shit that the castle didn't want to do. And
Hogwarts was like, yeah, get into my hallways.
Well, you know, and And I mean, to kind of like end this part of like the closing segment, because it's just like there's so much like to it. You know, this is something that Meredith, our comics editor, suggested, and something I kind of follow behind. Like, if you do have the inkling to go watch it, you know, and it is because there is evidence that it is a record of abuse. You know, that's
yeah, no, it's straight up. Like, if you're in a relationship that resembles any part of their relationship, you need to get out soon. You need to get out like immediately.
And I mean, it's like if you go watch the movie just out of curiosity and all that, just kind of think about, have that in your perspective that it is abuse, and, you know, maybe make a donation to one of the women's shelters here in Houston or wherever, you know, to kind of show your support for them too. Because, yeah, I read some of the stuff, some of the points that pointed out. I'm like, how is this actually like out there and popular?
Yeah.
Yeah, completely blows my mind, but
y'all should donate to the Houston Area Women's Center because their name spells Hawk, and which is awesome.
God damn it,
Ryan!
Hey, it's a real one. It's near where I live. Houston Area Women's Center. Donate.
Yeah, do that. I mean, I'm behind that.
Donate to Hawk.
It's like Mask.
Yeah, it's like Mask.
I wanna Hawk.
But moving on, let's go from the big screen to the digital screen. Of course, everybody knows that Netflix is planning a Legend of Zelda series. I'm going to take a tally on this real quick. Ryan, for or against?
Against. Straight up.
I really don't care because I'm not going to watch it. And I really love Nintendo, but Zelda is a franchise that I feel pretty neutral towards. So
I'm
against. So.
Yeah, everyone's so excited about it. It's so annoying. Anyway.
Well, I mean, it's because it's going to take a lot of the aesthetic of the Legend of Zelda games.
Yeah, so what everyone likes about Legend of Zelda games is it's a game. The story is good. There's a lot of tropes that we can that happens all the time. So I don't see it as a very good, you know, series. It's a great game, but I don't know how they're gonna translate that. And I heard someone say it's gonna be like Game of Thrones but kid friendly, and I'm like,
It was in the Wall Street Journal like article. They're trying to compete with Game of Thrones but make it more family friendly.
Yeah.
No,
it's, why are you against it, Jesus?
The biggest reason is the fact that when you play a Zelda game, there's no voice acting.
Nope.
You know, everybody's silent. It's all reading.
You know, it's... Yeah, huh, yeah. Okay.
There. Yes. There you go. Which in Hyrulean is actually translating what Ryan said right now is there's a bomb chew in my pants. But no, I mean, there's no voice acting. You know, Link is a silent character. There's no talking really from him at all.
No, because you're supposed to insert yourself into Link. You are Link. In the first Legend of Zelda, they ask you what your name was.
No, and I mean, it's like, no, that's all of them.
Yeah.
You have to enter your name, and your name gets, you know, inserted in that. You're not
the
Link.
The thing is, you didn't know what Link's name was until the second game.
Of course, but, I mean, it's just like, I don't know. It's that, and I think the realm and the history of Zelda really belong in a game world.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you make a series of, you know, you can't cover the entire history because there's so many games that fit in that timeline.
And that's a complex timeline.
Yeah.
It is. So, I mean, it's like, if you're going to come, maybe if you, The only way I could see it done is if you concentrate on some vastly different timeline where it's a modern day Zelda or something. But aside from that, I can't see like an ancient Zelda.
No.
If they did a modern day Zelda, they could make it like where they're like in high school.
Yeah, and everything they say is like text messaging or tweeting and stuff.
Yeah. And the Principal Ganon. Principal Gannon. No,
Gannon belongs on like the opposing high school football.
Opposing high school, and then and then we'll have the king, will be the principal, yeah, and then we'll have the three. What's her name? The people who created the women created Hyrule.
Hold on. No. The king is the superintendent. Chalmers.
Superintendent Chalmers. Okay.
All right. The three goddesses.
Yeah.
Right. They can be the principals of the schools.
Okay. Three schools. Oh, I see where you're going. The current school, so the wisdom school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, and Imagine Dragons can do the theme song. And it'll, oh my god.
Imagine Dragons.
Imagine Dragons and Koji Kondo can do that.
Oh yes. God. Yeah.
Just
Lord.
Yeah.
And like you can have, never mind, I'm not even gonna go into, but yeah, you can have Save by the Bell, but you know, Legend of Zelda.
Screech could play Ganondorf. God damn it, Dustin Diamond is Ganondorf, anybody?
No, Dustin Diamond can be Tingle. Tingle the janitor.
I know you said you're very ambivalent about it, Rex, but do you have a favorite Zelda game?
Oh man, if I had to pick, I really like Link's Awakening.
Oh,
probably more than anything else.
Did you play Between Worlds?
Huh?
Which one?
Between Worlds.
I have not played Between Worlds yet. I need to.
You need to. It blew Awakening and Link Between Time.
That's my answer. Actually, you just stole my answer.
Yeah.
Link Between Worlds is. I'm a fan of the 2D Zeldas. And
now I gotta go play that again.
Yeah. I have Link to the Past. I just bought it on my Wii U. I want to play that. Well, what's your favorite Zelda?
Mine?
Yeah.
Between Worlds.
Between Worlds?
Oh, yeah, it just got so good. And then that ending, it's when I was dealing with a lot of insomnia. So I ended up like in two nights beating that game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so like at 5 in the morning, like as the sun was rising up behind me.
Oh my god.
The ending sequence came, and if you played it, the ending sequence is amazing.
I was like floored. I was like, are you serious? Wait, what? Oh my god, that's what? Yes.
Exactly. So, Rex, you gotta play it.
Yeah, I'll have to do that soon.
Yeah. So we're gonna move on to our last big item. Because we've been playing talking about video games and TV and stuff. You know what? I'm gonna pause this. I am actually going to pause the recording. We're going to make sure that we have an alcoholic drink.
All right.
Maybe.
As we talk this. So,
ready, go get more booze.
BRB.
Keep your...
So we all went to go get a drink. Ryan, what are you drinking?
I am drinking my drink. I think this is going to be my drink. Like, my personal favorite drink is Half Hibiki, which is the Japanese blended whiskey that I always rave about. And Topo Chico, which is Mexican mineral water. Fantastic. I mean, both of them fantastic by itself. Together, it's glorious.
Rex?
I just took a shot of tequila. I worked all day, and I don't want to get too super drunk, so...
We need to rub your shoulders or something so you can loosen up.
Yeah, I need a massage.
I grabbed a bottle of Ruination. Not 10 or anything, but Ruination from Stone. So we should be good to discuss.
Bum 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 bum.
Special Victims Unit. Gamergate Edition.
First of all, can I just say that it completely, absolutely, 100% missed the mark. What?
Yeah.
First, before even that, I just want to like say that. All of us here are very opposed to the Gamergate movement because it's so dumb.
Please don't dox us.
Yeah.
Yes, please don't dox us, but this is our kind of opinions. Yeah.
Doxing is when they release all your personal information online.
Oh, really cool.
Preferably to a website like RedChan.
No, RedChan it.
Yeah, RedChan it. That's what it was.
It was just, okay.
Start from the beginning.
I don't know if we're going to be IST right now and explain Gamergate. Gamergate is a movement of ethics and journalism and stuff that's like
I read about it on giant... Kotaku.
It's been a brave new world.
It's turned into this giant battlefield of like all these sides, and they're very nasty. You know, the majority that is very like vocally spoken are the ones that are heard and reflected through all this. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really give out the side of the people like you and I that respect, you know, video games as an art, that respect, you know, journalism, that respect, you know, and when women, because in the end of all everything, you know, the whole, you know, females being game developers or being game characters or anything like that, it decides not to respect that. And that's something that's a big no-no. You know, we're all equal. We all do our thing and we all love what we do, right. You know? So it's like, so Law and Order decided to do a, episode where they kind of poked, I'm going to say they poked fun at the game.
Yeah, they did not like, do it were, any favor.
Well, okay, so it felt like they were trying to poke fun at it, but then when you get down to the overall message, or what it felt like to me, the message of the episode was, it was kind of like, whose side are they on?
Yeah, first of all, it was nothing. I don't think it was anything about Gamergate. It was about a video gamer, which okay, first of all, I hate this video game character trope. There, mm-hmm. You're gonna have the sociopathic video gamer who cannot tell the difference between reality and video games. That always happens in these kinds of shows. And they're like, he can't tell the difference between games. That's why he hid all the files in Prince of Persia in his Xbox.
But... Yeah, and like his group that he had, his little like Gamergate quote unquote group that he had, was like a weird mix of Gamergate mixed with ISIS mixed with Anonymous. And that was really weird. It's like they just turned them all into this one big spooky boogeyman that knows how to like do things like doxing and use laser pointers.
Those kids are terrorists. And, they're not even gaming.
Yeah. And I mean, okay. I mean, the reality of things, there have been cases of doxing, and there have been threats and all that.
Swatting. There was a swatting in the.
Yeah, they had a swatting.
Oh yeah, they had swatting, which has happened a lot too. Which are really immature acts too. Mm-hmm. You know. I mean, to me, it's like social media being used as a platform for advancement of movements is kind of dumb, mm-hmm. because of the fact that you have so many people out there that can chime in and can say something incredibly stupid and just cause so much chaos.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad because the voices of reason are being shut up by like people that have anonymous masks.
Well, that's always the case, though, with, you know, all the time. The people who yell the loudest get heard first.
Exactly. But the episode, like...
There's so much wrong with it, and I don't know where to start. Anybody notice the Toby Turner cameo in the beginning?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was a thing, and...
I want to start with the ending.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that's the best place to start.
The ending... was the victim, the game developer.
Wait. Before you say the ending, let's go flashback to the beginning when Ice-T was playing the game. They had a tournament, and he got killed by a camper. And he goes, damn campers, that's the worst thing ever. They're not dishonorable people. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay.
Now let's fast forward to the ending.
Yeah, let's fast forward to... Yeah, the very end...
I'm not even going to talk about that part where at the end where Ice-T actually camps. I'm gonna go forward and go like toward the very end where the woman game developer gives up.
Oh yeah. Yes, the terrorists win.
Yeah, that's so stupid. And it's funny because I didn't want to watch the episode. I watched Supercut and they actually put the Counter-Strike Go terrorist win thing in front of it. And that's kind of the truth. It's like I was so disappointed by the fact that it came down to a negative ending. Well, where... What's up?
Like, straight up, like, the entire message of that show, because before she gives up, like, what winds up happening is, like, they kidnap her, and then it's actually quite graphic, even for, like, an SVU episode, like... Not only do they kidnap her, but they make her, like, they beat the fuck out of her. They make these videos with her, like, reading off a script, talking about how much of a slut she was and how she was apparently, only, like, married to her. What's up?
Apparently on live stream. This is
being Yeah, it's all being streamed live. And, like, they make her, like, recite off a script about how, like, women are awful and she's a dirty slut. Like, really, really graphic stuff. She's, like, a dirty slut because she was... They make her claim that, like, her boyfriend, the other game developer, like, she was only using him to, like, get her game made. And she gets, like, raped over live stream, essentially, and, like, all this really, really fucked up stuff. And then they wind up, they track her down to
A warehouse.
Yeah, a warehouse where she has her hands taped to a shotgun, and they're blasting through PAs, like, noises from the video game that they were playing. Which
is, Kill or Be Slaughtered.
Yeah, Kill or Be Slaughtered, okay. Which looks like...
So the typical gamer dude or whatever right now plays a lot of Call of Duty, COD. In the show, it was KOB.
KOBS, COBS.
KOBS, yeah. It was the same thing, COD, COBS.
Well, Kill or Be Slaughtered.
It was so...
So, also, they also said, like, Ice-T was like the explainer for all this, which was, I think, lazy. I mean, aside from all our, you know, social
the whole episode we have, was lazy. Let's not kid ourselves. The whole episode was
it was lazily written, and so every time they inserted what's his name Ice-T to explain, oh, what's this, what's that, what's Cobbs, and they're like, what's a forum? I think they haven't made fun of that. He was like, well, a forum is blah, blah, blah. And then the head woman. I don't know any of these people. And then she was like, I know what a forum is. Anyway, he said this, that one of the levels, quote unquote, in Cobbs is where you kidnap somebody, essentially violate them, and then kill them, which is a level, which is a mod. And I'm like, Activision would not let that happen. That's fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, there's so much cringe in this whole game. Like, and it's so negative.
Yeah.
You know, instead of being like an uplifting message to the people that are, you know, wanting to keep like diversity and everything in gaming, it's like a backpedal.
Yeah, they're essentially saying, hey girls, don't make video games or you're gonna get raped on Twitch.
Exactly. It's because
really awful.
The game that she was making, Amazonian Warrior, is described by Ice-T as better than Civ 5 with a Brave New World expansion. Which first
according
of all,
according to
Kotaku, which is first of all bullshit because Brave New World Civ 5 is one of the best games I've ever played. In that 4X kind of thing. But she was making that game, but for some reason, a group of people who will not be interested in her game at all is angry at that.
Yeah. I didn't notice that, but yeah, you're right. You know,
for no reason. Completely different game, completely different audience, and they're mad just because she's making that, which makes people, because Law and Order, it's a mainstream thing, so people will watch and be like, oh, just because a woman wants to do something, even though it's unrelated, it's bad. And it's like, no, Gamergate's more complex than that.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying. Like, and in my head, I'm like, women have been like all over video games for a long time. Freaking Jade Raymond was one of the reasons that we had Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And then and Uncharted, I forgot her name. I forget people's names. I'm sorry, guys.
But Amy Henning from Naughty Dog.
Yes, Amy. Yeah, her. Yeah, she was.
Well, and Jade has been like regarded like one of the best like writers for video games too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So people are gonna go off thinking that these women don't exist because every time a woman tries to make something, they're gonna. This happens in freaking Law and Order universe.
Now, I do have to say this because there's a lot of things that I disagree with her coverage and all that, but the first girl... Okay, so in the episode, there were two people that were victim to the mask, which the masks were ridiculous.
They're hockey
too,
masks, right?
No, they were just like ski masks. Like, with, like ski masks, things like
luchador masks. Blue things on them.
Yeah, so, but I mean, it's like, okay, there were two people that fell victim to them, and the first one, oh, man.
Leveled up.
She looked like Anita Sarkeesian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was on purpose or anything. Like, I don't agree with a lot of her views, but I still kind of think it was kind of stupid to embody someone like that.
Yeah, but also no, the name of
Raina Punjabi is kind of foreign enough to Anita Sarkeesian. It's kind of like,
yeah,
kinda like, here's a foreign name.
No. I think Raina Punjabi was kind of something that they had to get out there because of the fact that they couldn't identify her with anybody that's a game developer. Because if a game developing company sees this and says, wow, this is very parallel to our game developer.
Oh yeah,
that's a lot of trouble right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean that's why they have the dun dun fictional thing at the beginning and the end of the show.
I still think it's kind of that way, you know.
Yeah.
but it was a very stupid show. And Ryan, what are they doing next?
It's not real. I thought it was real. I was
being a hoax.
At the hoax, but they were supposed to do the hoax. Read was they're gonna do a something about otaku and called Lolly Convict, which I think was a very very smart title.
Yeah, I was like, God, when you posted that to Facebook yesterday, I just about like shit my pants and I was so excited, and then I showed it to Rhea and I was like, oh my god. Then we actually like started reading about it and like looking at the website, and what tipped me off was the most commented story on the right side of the page was Netflix to start developing Left Shark anime series. Damn. And I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, so they were supposed to do, like, Ice-T was supposed to go in an illicit doujinshi thing, but...
Oh, God.
But I would have loved to watch that. That would be hilarious.
That would have been just so good.
Yes, then so he could be like, well, he's an otaku, and then Ice-T would be like, well, otaku is a fan of Japanese culture and animation. And this doujinshi, well, doujinshi is a fan-made comic. A fan-made manga. What's a manga? Manga is a... It'll just be half of that episode will be just Ice-T explaining everything about
Japan. What is hentai?
Yeah. Well, hentai is an illicit. It's just... Also...
What are lollies?
Okay. At the end of the show, and this was really pisses me off, too, is he was sitting with... I guess the head of SVU. I don't want to call her a sheriff. Head of SVU.
Yeah.
Was it the lady that looks like she's from Despicable Me?
Yeah. Because he ends up shooting the kid. The kid's probably like, you know, 18, 19,
wait,
20.
Wait, no, hold on. He ends up FPS shooting the
kid. Yeah,
in an FPS sequence with like shot with a GoPro that just looks super... super silly and ridiculous.
Yes, and then the guy Carisi, whatever his name is. The only reason I know his, I remember that guy's name because it sounds like Khaleesi. Anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, he goes like, "What are you doing back there? Are you camping?" He was like, "I know, but it's a dishonorable but effective tactic." And that's when I just like tapped out. I'm glad it was at the end of the episode because I could not take any more. Anyway. So he was sitting with the head of SVU, and he was just there. And he's kind of like, oh, shit, what's going on? I mean, I shot a kid, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, you know, the difference between me and those kids is that I can tell the difference between reality or not.
Yeah.
That fucking pisses me off. Because they always show the gamers as someone out of touch of reality that they could not tell the difference. And they think that if you get shot, blood is going to fall in your eyes. And if that blood's away, you're okay. No,
you know what else?
99% of people are fine. Sorry,
No, you know what else made me mad is at the beginning of the episode they're at a gaming convention.
Yeah,
and they're trying to protect the Anita Sarkeesian model, which I mean, this is what I'm going with. And so two guys go up and like they take her to a bathroom, they assault her in a bathroom stall. They don't rape her. It is still very inappropriate.
In graphic, it was pretty bad.
Like that's the thing. SVU, from what I had seen before, they don't really like show a lot of the like graphicer things happening. Like they don't show the women like getting assaulted half the time, or at least from what I've seen. They just kind of show the aftermath. But this episode had a lot of like really intense male on women like sexual violence, and it was really upsetting.
The thing is, like, when they started assaulting her and they asked her what, like, later on she reported, of course, to the police, and the police were like, well, what happened? She said the stupidest thing. They leveled up.
Yeah.
That is, like, a positive reinforcement for, like, inappropriate groping.
Yeah. I was just, like, you're dumb. No, but it goes back to lazy writing. They wanted it to be horrible. Video gamey. That and the first person view and the camping, and it's terrible.
I almost gave up. So yeah. I mean, if you're involved in Gamergate, just forget about everything. Learn to love each other.
Be excellent to each other, like Bill and Ted
said. Yeah.
Be excellent to each other.
Anyway, guys,
and leave people alone.
I'm gonna go back and check out Red Chanet to look at more stuff.
Oh, Lord.
We're
not even gonna go into that, but the supercut of the episode is on YouTube. Just check out Gamergate supercut SVU, because you don't want to waste 20 minutes of your life on that show.
It's 47 minutes. I watched the whole
thing. Oh my god, it's not that long.
Yeah, I watched it during dinner. I almost spit out my dinner.
Yeah,
all right, so
I did spit out my dinner.
So grab onto that. So that's gonna end it for us. I know we did a really long show today, but whatever. We're enjoying all the stuff.
We're enjoying you. Like, thank you for 15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, yes. Last week we had 15,000 total listens. You know, on behalf of God Hates Comics and the War Pod. Thank you. Like, that's totally awesome and mind blowing. I know Ryan and I were like refreshing the page back and forth, like, yes, this is gonna happen. This is gonna happen.
You got 15,000. You got the screenshot. I refreshed. It's like 15,006. Dang it! I missed the round number.
You know, and keep those listens coming, because not only does that make us happy, it also gives us more opportunities to go out and do things. We don't have sponsors yet. You know, hopefully someone will step up and sponsor us because of our listens.
Mm-hmm.
But it allows us to go to conventions and talk to people and you know, just kind of brag about what we've been able to do because of you guys.
And, you know, share us with your friends. Hey, tell your friends, like, hey, you know, you like nerdy stuff and you're in Houston, listen to these guys. These guys are great. They're awesome. So, again, like us on Facebook if you haven't already. Please review us on iTunes. And also, if you're a billionaire, please buy us.
Yes.
If you're a billionaire, please email us ASAP.
Yes, you know. Unless you're Christian.
There's going to be a couple of things coming up soon. On Sunday, Everything is Terrible is coming up. I am actually very torn apart between the WWE pay-per-view because, me and wrestling and going, but I may end up going to Everything is Terrible.
How often do those pay-per-views happen in WWE? Because usually you always have to watch that, like, all the time.
Once a month.
Once a month, okay.
Correct. Also, Doomsday Wrestling.
Yes.
Is coming up on the 28th. And I think I might have to go to that next Saturday.
I'm definitely going to that, like, come hell or high water.
All right. Ryan?
If y'all are going.
It's always a good time.
Wait. That's 28. No. My wife's birthday.
She doesn't. When is your wife's birthday?
It's the 29th of February.
Okay, so she doesn't get a birthday, so you can come up.
Oh, man, if she listens to this, she's going to punch me in the face so hard.
No, she knows we're kidding. And actually, I knew the whole, you know, leap year thing.
Yep.
But, and then after that, of course, Staple. I do not want to forget this.
Mm.
Saturday is Circuits.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
So our buddies at Lazy Bit are doing Circuits again. It's going to be at the Alley Cat Theater and Bar. Or Lounge and Bar, sorry. Tons of good stuff going on. Of course, that's an art show. I know we went last year. Had a lot of fun there. So check them out. I think they have their website up at lazybitcollective.co, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, that's it for us tonight. So until next time, Space City, good night.
Night, night.
Darkwing Duck is such a hero. Darkwing Duck, I wanna take you home. I just want to see your body, and I don't want to be alone. He takes the filth off the streets and brings it home to the sheets. Darkwing Duck.